Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is January 21st, 2014. Thank you so much for visiting my BBS radio show, and today I am going to bring Jerry Yesko back in to kind of take on from where we left off regarding the gap, so to speak, between the spiritual higher pristine energies and the lower density body energies, and how to align those two. And if you would like to read more about Jerry's bio, please just go ahead and visit the website, because we do have a lot to cover and we want to take advantage of every moment we have. So thank you, Jerry, for coming back on the radio program. I appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you're welcome. Now, as we left off last time, we were really getting into some super juicy stuff. And before we jump into the Christ bloodline and the implications of that, I just kind of want to tie up a few loose ends on how does one align those very high, pristine, higher energies and the lower density energies of the body? How are you going about doing that, or what kind of advice can you give to people about that?
Well, for one thing, I teach a course whereby you learn to come back into the temple. As they used to say, it's not the body that's truly a temple, it's the body that becomes the temple. And as I said last week, it's like filtering out all the negative, all the things that did not serve the higher purpose of being a high spiritual being. So the more negativeness you get out of your life, the more clarity that comes in, the more you're able to connect to source, you start changing the density of your physical body to be able to create and manifest more energy. With me, when I help people bring in what they need from their spirit, I work with my hands a lot so I can move energy through fibers of their cells, the muscles, to bring in energy, to have them start realigning or acclimating to the gift that their spirit said that they needed. And like I said, this comes starting from the base root chakra all the way up to the crown, and it goes around the spinal cord.
Wow. And did you, I mean, is this something you self-taught?
Yes and no. Remember I told you that I've always been taught spiritually as well? The difference between my encounters with extraterrestrials and angelics were, when my angelic teachers came to me, they were always external. They talked to me like I'm talking to you right now. And they would show me beautiful things, or they would tell me stuff that if I had wrote down by now, I'd probably be very famous. My encounters with extraterrestrials have been different ways. It's either been through dreams, lucid dreaming, mental telepathy, astral projection, or sometimes even physical. But after a while, you get to know the difference because of what I said before. They both have their own energy signatures. What I've learned to do was I learned to come into faith. I used to have conviction, but when I started realizing who I was and started remembering all the different things I was doing, because I looked at my life and said, am I just making this up or is it truly real? And once I took ownership that it was truly real, I became a part of it, and I became empowered by it. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, absolutely.
Because my spirit started, the soul and the spirit started communicating together, and eventually I was able to bring a lot more of my higher spirit into my physical body, so my soul and spirit could become blended as one through unification within this body.
Wow, that's the name of your website, The Blending, right?
Yeah, and I didn't get that through the... I got The Blending because there are so many people with different abilities that I wanted people to have a chance to converse with not only metaphysical people, but angels and extraterrestrials and people who had different modalities of healings or teachings. And that's where the blending came in.
Very beautiful. Yeah, it's something that's always just been a real refreshing difference with you, and that is you are so on fire to acknowledge each of the healers' gifts and even assist those healers in magnifying and becoming all-encompassing in the way in which they do their work. I mean, it's just a beautiful attribute to you, Jerry, seriously.
Thank you. But I've also been blessed because I am able to walk among different races. I've also learned about their cultures, about their mannerisms, per se. And it's also given me the chance to learn about our history. But by working with different angelic beings that other people work with. For most healers, if you notice, when they're working, they call on angelic beings. They call on Michael, or they'll call on Gabriel, or they'll call on Raphael, or they'll call on Jesus to come and help them. Some people will say Sanandra, which is Jesus, but I rarely see any healers say, I'm manifesting the grace to come and help me now, or I'm calling on a Nordic.
Correct.
To come and heal.
Correct.
And that, again, is, if you look at it that way, that's why we also have, we intuitively know that there's a separation between extraterrestrials and angelics.
Wow, good point. I never even thought of it that way. That's a really good point. Now, tell people a little bit about your background with the extraterrestrials. I think one of the most fascinating stories was when you had your experience with the praying mantis. And you were, you know, you ran away. Tell everybody that story. That was hilarious.
That is where my whole life changed. That's when I really became in true self-acknowledgement of spirit. Not only understanding it, but knowing how to learn to connect to it. Because the praying mantis are very benevolent beings. And basically what happened, to make a long story short, was I learned a long time ago that the grays are basically dying. And I've seen them die, and I asked them if I could go to their home planet. And so after a little bit of negotiation stuff, they did take me to their home planet, and I remember it. And I remember it is a darker atmosphere.
Really?
It's almost like twilight most of the time.
Wow.
It's really strange, but their buildings and stuff are, everything is designed to take advantage of its natural environment.
So are the buildings built out of the mountains and that sort of thing?
No, they're actually built out of the best materials that can harness energy and just like we have solar panels. They learn to take crystals and learn how to harness energy out of it. So they might have buildings that are made out of crystal, or they might have buildings that are made out of metals that we don't have on Earth that can convert their sunlight of what they do get and stuff into energy.
Very cool.
But the main thing was is we went to their hospital. The Greys do have feelings and stuff. They do make connections to their loved ones, if you wish to call it that. I seen a gray, my mentor, in fact, actually hold the hand of a dying gray and help it through the dying process, I guess would be the best way, as it passed from life into spirit.
Wow. You know, that's quite a it's quite an interesting comment, because the grays are perceived to be so feelingless.
But they're not. It's more of a way of I think because of the way that human beings fear. If you ask most people, if they're being examined or something, they're in fear or they're in pain, they will come over and they will assist you. They will bring you out of the pain, or they'll do what is necessary. They don't show the same human traits because they haven't evolved beyond human emotions. It just doesn't serve what they do. They work for the betterment of their species.
The only thing I don't understand about what you're saying is, if they see that you're in pain and they will come forward to assist you, then why are there all of these horrific stories about people getting abducted and their experiences are very painful?
Because you also have military grays.
That's what I was wondering. So can you talk a little bit about the difference between the two?
There are different grays, and there are also different colors of grays. And when I first had my experience, even though it was on a military base, they were benevolent. They were actually here to watch over us and make sure that we probably didn't kill ourselves. And then there are grays that work with our military. We signed a treaty supposedly with them, back in the 50s?
Late 40s, early 50s.
Late 40s,
right?
Yeah. I forget the actual date right now, but I think it was Eisenhower that signed it. And for the most part that I've been taught anyway, is they're not allowed to act upon their own. For the most part, they do have to have some kind of military personnel with them when they abduct you, because there are planetary laws that still govern their actions.
Interesting.
And our government is not allowed to sign authority over to another species, regardless of what the contract might say. It'd be like me trying to sign your soul over to the dark side. Do I have authority to do that because I'm human?
No.
No, I don't. And neither does anything else living in the universe.
Correct.
And so our government does not have the right to make a contract with an extraterrestrial race that says you can come down here and do whatever you please to people by your own free will or accord.
Wow.
Human beings can do what they wish to human beings, although that's going to be changing eventually. So most of your military grays work with military personnel when they do horrific things. I blanked that. You know I do this once in a while. I had to confirm some information.
That's okay. Good.
Okay. From what I understand is, if you have a rogue species or extraterrestrial, you can go and have, not retribution, but arbitration against them.
Yeah, talk a little bit. I'm familiar with that. Talk a little bit about that for those that have had this experience and need help.
Okay, and this has even happened to me. And it happened even with the grays that I've been with on a situation. If you are in a position whereby you believe that you were violated by any extraterrestrial race, you can seek arbitration and basically ask for, I guess it'd be
consolation
or something given back to you.
Yes.
Okay, and the reason why is because when people understand that if something interferes with your paradigm to the connection of source, whereby you become so afraid or you become so upset that you can no longer believe in God,
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. are your higher divinity. This is a rip in the fabric of spirit, and it needs to be amended. And so this is what's taken care of.
Wow.
So you do have the right to ask for arbitration to come back into full blessing of connection into spirit again.
Wow. I mean, when you talk that way, it just, I'm always in awe of the beauty of the universe and how well designed it is. You know, that's incredible. Well, so keep going. So
what happened to me was, when I went to their home planet, I came back, they misaligned my frequency. So my neurons and synapses didn't line up correctly. And it's called being out of phase in a three-dimensional body. And basically what happens is sometimes you become disoriented, sometimes you become extremely depressed for no reason at all, or you become like on ecstasy and everything is wonderful and happy. It's almost like if you're going through manic depression stages or schizophrenia and you don't even know why. Your body chemistry changes. And the reason with me, because I know myself so well, I knew that when they put me back into my body, because I felt also like a little bump, like I fell into my body instead of just being eased into it, I knew that I was misaligned. And it took me 3 weeks to finally get them to do something about it. And I went to the council and I said, I can't live this way. I need to be back into my whole physical being. And this is interfering with my paradigm.
Right.
So the grace brought me to a ship with these praying mantis, and I'll be honest with you, I was really afraid.
I can't even imagine, because they're how tall? How tall are they, typically?
To me at the time, they looked at least 10 to 15 feet tall. They were, and no offense, but my perception of the praying mantis here on Earth.
It's not the same.
No, but they're insects. I mean,
right.
They're insectoids, and even though they're benevolent and they had all this wonderful energy, because my physical body was afraid, I thought that, well, I didn't know what I really thought. I just knew that I could probably be in more harm than help, but they really did help me. What they did was they had this other being that had these cups that came out of his head, which I didn't want to go through because I didn't understand what was happening. And that's the main thing. When you don't understand something, a lot of fear comes in.
Yeah, but the unknown, right?
Yeah, the unknown. I broke from the grave, let me go, I believe, and I was going to run, and these praying mantis were really quick. They grabbed me. They held me while this other being literally put these suction cups onto my head and realigned my electrical chemical impulses in my brain.
Whoa.
But after that, everything started changing because not only did I become more connected to the praying mantis, eventually, because I started to recognize who I was, what I remembered so much more, they gave me certain abilities. Like, they gave me authority over the grays, let's say, okay? So I can ask them to do certain things for me. Like, I've had this before. I've asked people said, I want contact. I said, okay, I can arrange that for you, but make sure that you really want it. And I also ask other races to go with them because some people are afraid of the grays. But there's really nothing to be afraid of if they're the benevolent ones, okay?
Right.
And they've actually woke up the next day with markings on them, and they would send me pictures and stuff. And through that, I learned how to get even higher into my own divinity, my remembering who I was in the beginning of creation, and also what the human race was in the beginning of its physical entity. We weren't, I know that they say that we came from Africa and we were just dumb evolving apes, basically, if you look at evolution.
Yeah.
But that's not true.
No, it's not.
Okay, we were very highly developed spiritual beings. And because of this, I learned how to start evolving to more of a, for lack of a word, a Christ-like being. And that's why I'm able to do the healings that I can, because I work through the energetic energies. I work through the energies of Source.
How long ago did this happen to you?
5-6 years ago.
Okay, so it's fairly recent. But it totally changed the way in which you were performing your healings, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, before then, I didn't even think of myself as a healer. You know, right now, if I want something, I just ask. Like, I have the ability to see auras. But I didn't always have that ability. I just asked for it because it's something I needed when I was helping people.
Mm-hmm.
We are capable of asking for what we want. And if you have a continuity to a belief system, it brings in higher energy.
Yes, yes. You talked a little bit about that last time. It's very important to have some sort of foundation in which you stand on.
Yeah, you need a cornerstone.
A cornerstone, perfect.
So your will cannot be broken.
Right, right.
And this comes into, for me anyway, the teachings that I have, and I learned this from, like I said, the angelics and going to council meetings of what Christ was all about and the bloodline and what that means to us at this point.
Now, speaking, and I'm sure the teachings that you're referring to are not necessarily biblical teachings as much as just the pure teachings of Christ.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. Okay. And so tell us a little bit about what you've learned with the Christ bloodline. Who are the humans? How do they fit into the whole scheme of things with the Christ bloodline?
What Christ basically did for us was, this point in time while we're going through the galactic center for the next 1,000 years.
Correct.
Is to start bringing in the more higher vibrational energies so the physical body can start changing. The one thing that holds us back is the density of our physical body because of our manifestation abilities. But once you start coming more into spirit and the body becomes less dense, the more energetic energy you can bring in from the universe to start manifesting what you need. So like if you need an apple, you can bring it in because you can convert energy into matter. Right now, we take matter and convert it over into energy.
Correct.
But our minds are capable of doing just the opposite. But this had to be changed because, according to some theories, the Anunnaki came down and they changed the genetic coding of the human race.
Yes.
So they could keep us in slaves and stuff.
Do you agree with that?
From what I've seen, yeah, I do. And the reason why is because the human race has a propensity to want to be led instead of always leading. And what I mean by that is we set up governments to lead us. And even if our leaders aren't the most spiritual, we still follow them, even if we teach the practice of being spiritual, which I don't understand that dogma but or that concept. But we don't always do what is best in our own. We don't always do what is best for our own best interest.
But don't you feel that that's because we've been so programmed? We've been so, you know, they've been messing with our genes forever and a day. Don't you feel that that's part of the reason that we're like that?
Yes, and this is where what Christ did and the other masters before him laid down foundations that were appropriate for the time of their teachings for their people did. They gave them a different aspect of looking at how to live in harmony with each other.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yes. But learn also how to love each other even if someone else does not do equally unto you.
Correct.
Okay. And there's rewards that you get out of that. You get, in truth, you honestly get a more understanding of who you are by how much you can actually forgive.
And how much you can love.
And how much you can love. Yeah, exactly.
I totally agree with that. Yeah.
Which brings us back to the bloodline again, because it all comes down in basically to a purity. But we interbreed and we mix our races together. We don't stay always in the same race. So we have different bloodlines going.
Mm-hmm.
In order to correct that problem and get people back into the DNA sequence so we could take all advantage of what's happening now, when Christ's blood spilled into, spilled onto the earth, from what I was told, basically Mother Earth, or Gynon, multiplied that blood throughout the whole entire earth.
Mm.
And so it became a DNA sequence.
Interesting.
Within everything. And from that point on, the minerals, the water, our food and everything else that we would eat would carry, as far-fetched as this might sound, but it carries the genetic energy of Christ's blood was in it. Because it was the only way of being able to reestablish the DNA connection back into the planetary population. Because we couldn't all be born a Mary, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
So the fastest way is to have the Earth absorb and then energetically transfer that DNA sequence into her, and this is where I'm going to use the word matrix, and I don't like that word, but into her energy so it could spring back eternal into the foods that we, the water that we drink. And because we all have a Christ-centered brain, basically, it becomes acclimated over the years of reincarnation.
Mm.
So it's very profound, but basically we can all start doing as our higher spirit wishes, because in one way or another we have all been affected by a DNA change because of what Christ did for us, because of the purity of what He did while He was on this earth.
Interesting.
And basically, it doesn't matter if you believe that He died or not on the cross or anything else. It was more than just dying for sins. It was to help accelerate the new energy that's coming in to be able to match our DNA frequencies, to be able for this new body to change, like I was saying before,
right,
to higher vibrational energy. Because if we became as high in energy as we can become, this physical body would burn out.
Yeah. No, but it would like implode, or right? Something like that.
It wouldn't implode. Basically what it would do is it would just burn itself out like a battery going dead.
Mm.
Because it would not be able to handle the higher vibrations. It'd be like being walking in front of right now we live in light, but just think if we could also manifest to X-rays or gamma rays, or we could go into microwave, so we could transmit ourselves to another part, bilocate. This physical body, for some people they can do it because they mastered it, but for the most part, regular human beings can't do that. But as we assimilate into a higher vibrational frequency body, we'll be able to do that. But we needed our DNA sequence rechanged.
Wow, that's a very unusual way of seeing Christ's so-called mission being successful. And I appreciate that. That's awesome. So how do you feel how does this bloodline differentiate us from the other races out in the galactic realm?
It doesn't differentiate. It doesn't make us different. What it does is it puts us back into alignment to live among them without fear, because we will have the same abilities to walk equally among them again.
Very interesting.
Okay. The only thing that separates beings from one another is what we physically look like, not what we spiritually are.
Very good point.
And the other thing is, on the bloodline again, what Christ taught and was handed down for over 300 years before it became distorted was how to implement the Christ abilities. I mean, did you know that it took the Romans over 300 years? They were killing Christians. How do you do that if something isn't a true belief, or if you're not getting something out of it?
Right, right.
And just through the faith of what other people would see that these Christians would go to, it would convert them, even if they never saw or understood what Christ did, because they could feel the energy coming from that person.
Good point. And it wasn't a blind faith.
No.
Yeah, I want to clarify that.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that's just another derailing mechanism on the part of a lot of religions, but go ahead.
It wasn't blind, because that's what we are evolving into. When I help acclimate people or bring them what they need, they can feel the changes. One of the things that I can sometimes do is, just like what that being did to me, where they change my electrical chemical impulse to make me aligned again, because I can see the brain. Sometimes I can help a person that's out of balance rebalance herself in an electrical chemical structure to be what we would consider basically normal or have abilities. One of the things I'm really hoping for one day is to be able to not only receive, but also transmit what I'm receiving back into the minds of the person that I'm working on.
Ooh, I love it.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like a three-way conversation then.
Yeah, if you could actually see what I'm, instead of describing what I'm seeing to you, if you could actually see what you are showing me, that would be fantastic.
Well, it'd be a growth experience for all parties, I believe.
Yeah, and I really don't know what to say, but that is the beauty of what we are manifesting and ascending to for those that have been teachers and masters. And even if you're not, even if you're a student at this point, you can still become. All you have to do is give up the fear and have faith in your spirit. Have faith in Source. You know, when I teach people, I don't say that they need to use Christ as their foundation. I say what you believe to be your foundation, use that at this point. And then if that changes over time, grow with it. Mature in your spiritual acknowledgement as you become more of an ascended master.
And do you feel that all of us, or some of us, are truly the up-and-coming Ascended Masters?
I truly do.
So do I.
You know, I really find it, because I was going through this conversation last night with my angels and stuff like that, and some of the extraterrestrials I deal with, and we were talking, and one of the things that we found really coincidental, if you wish to put it that way, is our government, and I think it was George Bush who said this basically, is we would fight our enemy even if it meant having a 1,000-year war. Do you remember him saying that?
Yes.
Which is very coincidental, because that 1,000-year war happens to coincide with the fact that we are going through a transition right now from the galactic center, which is also 1,000 years.
Yeah, and there is no such thing as a coincidence with the government.
No, but it's amazing how we came into 9/11 just at the beginning of our ascension.
Yes.
And it divides the population. And this is where I tell people, at this point, it doesn't matter, because at one time we used to, which is a dogma, to me at this point, not back then, but we had karma, and we had contracts. But the beauty is, because of the bloodline of Christ and all like that, that's been removed, because you cannot ascend if you're still being held to an energetic tie with someone else.
Very good point. God, I'm so glad you brought that up. When do you feel that that began to take place?
I think the actual the releasing of karmic energy began back in 2009.
Interesting.
And it's still going to this day. The thing that people have to realize now, if we trespass against each other, it's on our own responsibility of doing so. Not because we are commanded to do so.
Or not because we're going to, on a higher level, know we're going to reincarnate and have to experience that in some other way.
Yes.
The repercussions of our actions. Yeah.
Well, the great thing about non-retaliation, if someone does something to you, is the reward. Because if you take away one thing, you get something else. And the reward is the higher connection to Source to become more of a manifestation of true spiritual being. And what does it mean to be a true spiritual being? It really means to live without fear within a three-dimensional reality, no matter what species you are.
Now, Jerry, that's a really good point, because basically anybody who's listening to this show is, chances are, a starseed. And the one thing that we all definitely have in common is we've never really felt like this was our home. We've never really felt comfortable or part of, you know, the norm, the group, the clan. You know, we're always the fringe dwellers, kind of standing on the outside looking in. And what you said is a perfect example of why we are where we are, because we've had to learn to not retaliate. You know what I'm saying? With the number of people that have come through, just for example, who've come through for the implant removal process, those that have shared their stories with me of their life, I mean, some of the most brutal childhoods I've ever read. And I know yours was not very easy either. And we have been presented that as almost like a triggering mechanism or a reminding us of the true, very pristine, high spiritual beings that we are.
Oh, very profound. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so getting back to what you were saying, can you talk a little bit about the human beings compared to the rest of the other races? You had started to talk a little bit about we're very feeling kind of people. We feel on an array of ranges. So how do they see us when it comes to our emotions?
It depends on the race, but most of them, are quite intrigued. Some are even envious of our abilities. Because we can still be connected to Source and get away with so much. And what I mean by that is we party, we drink, we can have great times and experience things that they might consider off limits to them. Like, I don't think anyone's ever reported seeing a drunk alien.
That's a good point.
You know.
So how do we get away with it?
Because we were one of the last creations that there might be more, but from what I was told, we are one of the last creations of God. And we are one of the ones that the other races that lived for hundreds of thousands of years, you start breeding out what made life content. Because the more you learn about how the universe works and everything else, sometimes you lose your emotional connection to physical being.
As a lot of people would say, you lose that ability to just be that inner child, to be that pure essence of a childlike approach to life.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it. And there's where the beauty of love comes in. We can do so many different things. And as long as we respect each other while we're doing them, we can still hold on to our spiritual aspects of respect for each other. So, I mean, in some ways, I guess other races look at it like we get away with murder.
That's really interesting. So when a human actually interacts at a council meeting, per se, are they appearing human, or are they appearing... See, that's one of the questions I think a lot of us have always had, is we talk about the Pleiadians, and the Arcturians, and the Andromedans, and the Vagans, and whoever. Are they viewing us as human? Are we considered to be a human civilization? Or are we just an amalgamation of all of them here?
No, the human body is of a different origin of energy. When I go to the console, I might be seen as a Syrian.
Okay.
Not warrior, but I come from, I'm Atlantean. And I'm my identity looks like a humanoid, but I represent the human race. That's why when people ask me what I am, I say, I am human. I stand by the creation of what we are. I protect our sovereignties under galactic federation law and planetary laws. And I represent the human race to the best of what we are as not only a collective, but individuals of what makes us, in my opinion, a species worth saving.
Oh, thank you for that. That's beautiful. Can you tell us, Jerry, a little bit about what it's like to participate in some of these Galactic Council meetings?
Well, lately, it's been a lot of headache. It's changing, but the last ones that I've been on, there's been so much argument and different timeline shifts, and I don't know if you felt timeline shifts, but I've actually seen them occur. Because the outrage of the human race has not been settled. But they don't have the right, because here again, because of what Christ did,
mm-hmm.
to just come down and wipe us out. We have the right to become into our own power as spiritual beings, and that's why the teachers and the masters need to be here to keep this information going, so we can start learning new paradigms. And you learn new paradigms like the old Christians did by learning how you come in and start manifesting your own energy. That was the true secret. It wasn't, hey, this great person called Christ came and he died for us and we're all saved and we went all, yay. It was when we became connected, we saw what we were able to manifest by spirit, mm-hmm. by bringing forth the words. And that's what I also help people do. It's amazing what we can do. Just like you now, I think when I first met you, I worked on you and I said, now go heal.
Yes. Yes.
And now, after that last Saturday that I worked on you, you, and I said, remember who your original origin was?
Yes.
And so you can go beyond that point, so you can start saying, I want to remember my experiences.
Yes.
I have the right as a spiritual being to be in my paradigm of self-continuity, of remembrance. That all that affects me, and because it affects me, I wish to remember so I do not lose perspective of who and what I am by the means of a veil or a screen memory. I am truly me, myself, and I in identity. I am spirit. I am love.
You know, Jerry, every time I listen to you, I really realize that one of the reasons I'm so attracted to the way in which you heal is you really are married to bringing forth the individual independently. There are many healers out there that, you know, they align with Archangel Michael or Christ or Mary Magdalene or what have you. And there just never seems to be that feeling of independence. It's almost as if you still have to request their assistance. And I'm not saying that you don't, okay? But what I am saying is that I love the fact that you're kind of guiding people down a completely different way of seeing the process of healing yourself. Because the ultimate purpose is to become fully independent and fully capable of using the gifts that you have been given. You just forgot what they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Okay.
One of the things I teach is healer, heal thyself. And a while back, I broke my foot.
Yeah.
Okay. And although I repaired it through energetic means, but I still wouldn't stop someone else from going to see a doctor, because even Christ said, when sick, go seek a physician.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not capable of repairing a broken bone instantaneously at this point. Although that's where I want to achieve and become. My physical body is still in too much of a lower density, and I can feel it. But I can raise above that eventually.
Yeah.
And when I'm healing, the great part about what I do when I'm healing is because the way I heal, I become immersed in that higher energy you were just talking about. Pure spirit takes over. and the lack of ego does not exist anymore. I am for that person. I am for the spiritual needs of what that person is asking me to give them, basically.
Right, right. Wow, how profound. Well, believe it or not, we have a couple more minutes. And with that said, I'd like to know how people can get in touch with you and any last remarks that you'd like to make to just kind of get people to think about the journey that they're on.
Well, first, I would like to thank you for this opportunity.
You're very welcome.
So thank you so much. I think what I would like to say is for anyone out there that there's always hope. There's always someone there to help you, to guide you. And remember, sometimes even when you believe that you cannot be guided, just if someone comes into your presence that wishes to help you, you might be guiding them. Because God works in mysterious ways. And never give up. Never stop believing in yourself, of what you can accomplish and become. We are physically changing in DNA structure. We are physically changing in our vibrational energy within the physical body. And we are capable of so much right now. Believe in a cornerstone of connection to Source to become the higher spirit of continuity that you truly are. I remember the things that I do because I am life. I have the right to remember and recall the experiences that I go through divine divinity of being spirit.
Mm.
And you do too.
Beautiful.
So just ask and it shall be given.
I tell people that a lot. It's like, did you ask? Well, no. Why not? Ask. Ask and you shall receive. And make sure you know what you really want. Because if you ask, we are in incredible times where things manifest very quickly if you allow it to be. If you ask and you're open, it's amazing what's going to come into your life.
Yes. And don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of anymore.
I agree.
The only thing that we have to be afraid of is sometimes each other.
I was going to say ourselves.
Yeah.
And our own belief systems. Those are the things we need to be afraid of, is get rid of them, you know?
Yeah, but we're changing all that.
Yeah.
There are so many different groups out there that want to help each other.
Yeah.
And you're one of the most fantastic persons that I know that truly put their heart and their soul into helping people. And I really appreciate you for doing that.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. Well, you too. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
And if people do want to get a hold of me, just like before, they can contact me at jfox1at, then the @ gmail.com. Or they can also go to my outdated website, theblending.net.
But at least it gives you a little bit of background on Jerry. Well, it's been lovely talking to you. And you know, you bring so much light to the world, Jerry, and we really appreciate your assistance with the planetary situation that's going on, as well as going and teleporting in and out of your you know, galactic council meetings. But anyway.
Yeah, I had a moment there, and I hope you didn't pick that up, but I talk in another language sometime because I have to communicate really quick.
That's okay.
Okay.
Well, everybody, I hope you enjoy this series with Jerry Yesko. Again, his website is theblending.net. And I just want to wish you all a wonderful rest of the week. Take care, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.